This is a Radio Charwell original podcast.
We love science!
So sport's quite interesting. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah, good to sit in front of the TV all day.
Also, I've done a lot of things. So I'm kind of preparing patients before surgery and taking care of them after surgery.
Wow!
Doing observations.
Science
to
be
concerned.
Why don't you give me a
mystery?
What do you think?
Healthcare, mental health, vaccines, and
science and beyond.
Welcome back to Science and Beyond, and we have a very interesting program, I would say, today, and it's in honor of Women's Day.
Yay!
As you can hear,
I mean, we're a bit late, but you know.
Yeah. And as you can hear, I have a very special guest here with me. So this is a woman called Leanne.
Hi.
And we'll be talking about. Well, today's program is a little bit different. So instead of doing the science part first and then doing like an interview, we're just going to have the interview and music. And we're going to be talking about famous women in science. Meanwhile, I'm holding a very cute guinea pig here, and he's very calm. So how was your week, Leanne?
It's been okay. It's been really cold.
The first woman that has changed the world is Asia Migeno. So what do you know about her, Leanne?
So according to the book, Dare to be Different by Ben Brooks, Asia Migeno, while volunteering in the Kalinga region of the Philippines, Asia met many people who have had to walk 6 hours every 2 days just to get kerosene for their lamps and cookers.
So long.
Yeah. These people live in remote areas with no public transport and rely on gas for light. As the country is spread across many islands, it is difficult to connect all homes to a power grid. Asia wondered if there might be a way of helping those who live off the grid. As a scientist, she believes it's important to, quote, have the initiative to find answers to your questions, even without expecting something tangible in return. I am pretty certain that all of us have lots of questions in our minds. Most of us just tend to dismiss them, be not that motivated to solve it. Even without any sort of reward, you should continuously quest for answers. And that's exactly what Asia did.
Wow.
She joined Batangas State University so she could begin her research and eventually came up with a solution to the problem she'd been considering. A lamp that could be powered by the most common resource on the planet Earth, salt water.
And everyone has salt, and I hope everyone has water, so that is quite a useful invention, I would say.
I would also hope everyone has water.
Yeah.
But yes. The salt lamp works by submerging two different metals in the water, creating electricity. All it needs to run is salt water and a small pot that needs to be changed once every 6 months. Two tablespoons of salt and one glass of water is enough to keep the lamp shining for 8 hours. For many people, it means no longer having to make long, difficult journeys to distant towns. All they need to do is fill their lamps with water from the ocean. Over 1,500 communities across the Philippines now rely on Asia's invention. She went looking for an answer and found one, helping thousands of people by doing so.
Wow.
I did not know that.
That is so interesting. And, well, it says here that she is a scientist and SALT, or SALT, co-founder. And she actually has so far benefited 1,500 communities within the Philippines with her salt invention. So because you're from the Philippines, you probably haven't come across the invention, but
I don't think
that would be really interesting if your like family back then knew someone who had the invention or something, which would be very on topic.
It might be more prevalent in places that are closer to the water, because I think more, you know, bigger cities in the Philippines probably don't have this.
Yeah, and
part of it.
The islands would have access to salt water as well because they're islands, so it is very useful.
Yeah.
Wow. And she met Barack Obama and Alibaba CEO Jack Ma. So she's a very big deal.
Goodness.
Okay, who's up next?
Next up, we have Elif Bilgin.
Okay, I'll read this one.
Okay.
I like the illustration on this one because it's very colorful. So there's bananas and there's electrical wires. And I think you'll find out why those two are there. So here is some background information about Elif. So as a child, she grew up in Istanbul and she really liked coming up with different inventions. So for example, she created a windscreen wiper for her glasses. And I think I would definitely want one as well. That would be so useful. A tiny car powered by the wind and a method for growing plants without soil, which is really interesting because it kind of links into hydroponics, where it's basically plants just growing in water and nutrients. Maybe it's kind of referring to that.
Okay.
And then she stumbled onto her next big problem. So petroleum-based plastic is a kind of plastic that is used for making anything like drink bottles to sunglasses, but the issue is it's not biodegradable, so it doesn't break down. And it ends up polluting the environment and adding all of these chemicals to our food and water, which is not healthy or safe. And then she realized that thousands of banana peels were thrown away every year. And somehow, somewhere along the line, she kind of correlated these two ideas. So she thought about, what if I use banana peels and turn them into plastic? So then after that light bulb moment, she spent 2 years conducting experiments to try and devise a way to kind of turn fruit skins into something useful. And to be honest, she failed most of the experiments, but after a lot of trial and error, she discovered a plastic that could be used to cover electrical cables. So now I think the image does make sense. And she was only 16, so me being 19 right now, I feel like I'm a
failure. Oh my god.
But I mean, as long as you kind of are passionate about what you do, I think that's important, not your age.
Yeah.
Ooh, the guinea pig is getting a bit frustrated.
But I think it is really exciting to learn about these women who saw a need and basically just went to fill it.
Yeah.
They saw a problem and
no hesitation.
Had to find a solution. Yeah.
And then she went on to study in college. She won a Science in Action Prize and she was also a finalist in the Google Science Fair, which is
Didn't know that was a thing.
And yeah, so Elif has proven that it's not how old we are that counts, but it's how big we're willing to dream. Did a presentation on her before. And I know a bit about her, but I think it would be useful for you to explain it.
And if I remember, I think you got a distinction your speech. Yes. Okay. All right. Next up, we have a very well-known woman in science, Marie Curie. So, born in 1867, when Marie was a teenager in Warsaw, Poland, she attended a secret school known as the Flying University. Interesting name. Yeah. As the Russians who occupied Poland didn't allow certain subjects to be taught, people learned in secret with teachers holding lessons in private houses that were always changing location
so
that they could never be found. Okay, so we're mixing in a bit of history here too.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Okay, so that would be during World War I.
I think.
Yes. Okay. The occupation wasn't the first hardship Marie faced. She was just 10 when her mother died. Wow. 3 years after that, her older sister passed away too. But no matter what happened, Marie was determined not to let it get in the way of achieving her goals. She once said that, quote, "Life is not easy for any of us, but what of that? We must have perseverance and, above all, confidence in ourselves." Preach. We must believe that we are gifted for something, and that this thing, at whatever cost, must be attained. And Marie did. She eventually left Poland for Paris, where she studied maths and physics at the famous Sorbonne mm-hmm. University. And that was where she met Pierre Curie and fell in love.
Ooh, another scientist.
Yeah. Working together, Marie and Pierre discovered two entirely new chemical elements, polonium and radium. And then we have a scientific power couple.
Yeah.
Which is pretty
and
sick.
Polonium for Poland, so that does. Yeah, did you just realize that now?
Yes.
Yeah.
I did. Mind blown.
Okay, and
a true
what
patriot.
Else?
Yeah. Yes.
And she also was very vital in the creation of x-rays, and she actually coined the term radiography.
Sure.
And that's really interesting because she helped create x-rays, and they're used so often. For example, yesterday, like I told you, I was observing surgeries. I have observed a couple of different ones. So the first one that I did observe was a hip replacement a week ago. But yesterday I actually observed a kind of a spinal fusion. So where there's like screws and bolts and they try to fuse your spine together, or well, vertebrae of it, so it's more stable. And basically for this one, you have to be so accurate that they put, before the operation, they put these little thin pins so they know where to cut and where to insert everything, and they keep taking x-rays. So I had to wear these very, very heavy kind of vests. Because obviously for safety, if I'm in the room and they're taking like loads and loads of x-rays, it's like,
yeah,
you know, and they were so heavy, it was difficult to do anything. And the surgeon had to be there for like 6-7 hours operating and wearing that vest. It's just,
goodness, 6-7 hours with no break.
Yeah, but yeah. I think that's a really good example of how important x-rays are. And wow. And that meant that she found a way for doctors to see the bodies of the patients, and treating them was easier because, for example, if they broke their bone, you would be able to see all of that within the x-ray. Marie Curie also volunteered during the First World War, and she drove ambulances. And I specifically remember her for this part. I think I watched like an animation in school that showed her where she was driving ambulances. And in those ambulances, she kind of had these x-rays as well. So instead of the patients having to go like to a hospital or something, she could like treat them right there. Which is so
very efficient.
Yeah, like wow, that is really a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And she faced a lot of pain and hardship being a woman in science because, you know,
sexism.
Men were mostly famous. And well, despite her achievement, she was never elected for the French Academy of Sciences. But as her saying, she still believes that we should push on. So
yes.
Okay. Now, who is the next one? This is still science, but it's a completely different area of science that I don't usually go into, which is why I thought it would be really interesting to discuss.
Okay, so here we have another woman from Southeast Asia. Is Mei Lin Neo, born in 1987. Giant clams are a species of mollusk that can be found in coral reefs around Asia, Indonesia, and the east coast of Africa. They grow to bigger than a meter across. That is actually a lot. They weigh more than an adult lion and live for over 100 years.
Wow.
But somehow they're also in danger. Okay.
Yeah, maybe they don't reproduce quickly.
That would be a problem. Goodness. Okay. When Mei Lin first learned about the giant clam, she was looking for a research project to take on at university. She went for an interview to see whether she might be suitable and asked the professor if she had any experience with diving, marine biology, or giant clams. Mei-Lin did not in fact have experience with diving, marine biology, or giant plants.
Oh. Yeah.
But she explained that her biggest talent was probably arts and crafts, and that she'd once made a Hello Kitty doll that could turn its head 360 degrees. The professor decided to take a chance on her, and she was accepted onto the project.
Yay!
Yeah.
Wow.
And it wasn't a path she had ever thought her life would take, but there's no way she'd change anything. Since taking on the project, Mei-Lin had spent years learning about giant clams and studying them in their natural habitats. She's found herself trapped in reefs during storms, struggling to raise baby clams, and giving a TED talk that has been watched over a million people on YouTube.
Wow.
So the clams, despite being able to live for over 100 years, are endangered in the wild because many people harvest them for food and to use in aquariums. Mei-Lin has made it her mission to try and protect them. Between 2011 and 2018, she led a giant project to raise baby clams and return them to the sea around Singapore. The advice Mei-Lin would give to any young person trying to plan for their future is, don't be afraid to dream big. You never know where your dreams will take you next. At least I know mine took me a little further than I had imagined myself.
That's so interesting because I think it's really nice to be able to like be focused on one kind of area of science. Like for her, it's just clams, and then finding out everything possible about that. Instead of like if you were to do medicine, it's literally just covering every single topic. So that is, it's either like specializing or just like a breadth of different topics. And I think both are interesting, but if you choose to specialize, I think you can definitely make a lot of breakthroughs if you just focus on one thing.
Yeah, that is a good point.
Which definitely. Science and beyond!
Radio Cherwell.
Done so far?
I think we've done four.
Wow.
I think we're on to our final one now.
Yeah. Okay.
Wonder who it is.
Ooh, wow. Let's see.
So cute.
This is a name that I can't pronounce well, but I'll give it a try. So she's called Rita Levi Montalcini.
Nailed it.
And she lived for quite a while. She was more than 100 years old when she died.
Wow.
So 1909 between...
So plus three.
2012. So she was either 102
103.
Or 103. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rita. During the Second World War, Rita would cycle around the countryside near her home in Turin, Italy. I've always wanted to go there, to Italy.
Me too, man.
Dream holiday destination.
Yes.
And she was searching for eggs. Eggs?
What kind of eggs?
Oh, let's see. The eggs weren't for eating. Oh, this gets more interesting. Rita was using them to carry out scientific research in her bedroom. She wanted to discover more about what went on as mammals grow from a few cells into complex creatures. I was very confused at the start. I'm like, eggs?
Grocery shopping.
At the time, Jewish people like Rita were being persecuted across Europe. She had left her position at the University of Turin because she didn't want to get the other scientists into trouble for working with someone who was Jewish, so that is very selfless. But Rita knew how important her work was, and she was very determined to pursue it no matter what. And then there were bombs falling on her house, and what she would do is take her microscope down to the basement and carry on her investigations into how it was possible for such small, simple cells to become such complicated animals. So that is real dedication, you know?
Yeah.
Despite your house being bombed, still going into the basement and just, you know...
Yeah, that's real passion.
Just ignoring the whole situation and being so intrigued by your work. I'm like, wow. Near the end of the war, Rita went to work as a nurse, and she was helping sick and wounded soldiers. And she saw it all as part of the same thing, looking for ways that she could help others. Then here is a quote by Rita. So she explained that, I tell young people, do not think of yourself, think of others. Think of the future that awaits you. Think of what you can do and do not fear anything. And after the war, Rita was invited to Washington University in America to continue her studies. For her work, she was awarded the Nobel Prize, the highest honor in science. Wow, I didn't know that. No, a Nobel Prize winner. By continuing her quest for knowledge, even during the hardest, darkest times of her life, Rita managed to push our scientific understanding forward and improve the lives of millions of people.
Well, it's nice to hear that she was recognized for her work.
Yeah.
Unlike Marie Curie, who definitely deserved it. But I think it just goes to show how far society has come.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
If I was a scientist and I was mentioned in a book, I would be so honored.
It is a good way of spreading awareness, I think, too. It would also be nice if more stories like this made it into mainstream. I think with all the negative news, it is nice to...
We need something positive.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Because I feel like a lot of people haven't heard of, like, most of these women.
Well, yeah.
Other than Marie Curie, of course.
Yeah.
Healthcare, mental health, vaccines, and... Science and beyond!